Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the second letter of St. Peter, the third chapter. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Most of you students might be too young to remember what was called Y2K. Y2K happened from 1999 into the year 2000. There was a big fear that as everything switched over, all the computers were going to crash and the entire infrastructure of our economy was going to collapse. And there was a lot of fear and trepidation at the time. I remember in November of 1999 being in the mall here in Mankato, sitting, getting my eyes checked at a place, and the lady working with me found out I was a pastor, and she suddenly leaned in and she said to me, "Is your church getting ready for the end of the world?" And I said, well, yes, I guess we are. And she said, "No, I mean, are you really getting ready for the end of the world in January?" And I said, "Well, why do you think that?" She said, "Oh, our pastor, he told us it's going to start happening on January 1st. In fact, every week we're bringing cans of food down into the basement of our church right now. And on New Year's Eve night, we're going to go down there and all get ready for the end of the world to take place." I wanted to ask her, "Why are you selling me glasses?" But our Lord Jesus says to us in Scripture, no one knows the day, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son of Man. And it's going to come like a thief in the night. Now, there's certainly a sense inside of all of us that there is an end coming to this world. Even unbelievers and pagans have a sense that something isn't going to last with all of this. One commentator said it's like staring at an old abandoned house that is creaking in the wind. You know that a day and a time is coming when it's finally going to fall. And there has always been great interest in this subject in the hearts of people. Hollywood knows that. Back in 1921, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse came out as a movie. In the 60s, there were movies about this. Just recently, with all the Mayan calendar stuff that's going on, there's always been great interest in this, and there's something about it that's intriguing to us in this fallen world. Just since the year 2000, Hollywood has produced 110 movies that are apocalyptic in nature. Just think of that, 110 movies. When I was a little boy in Tygan Hall's stairwell, back when that dorm was made in the late 60s, they put large tins, aluminum tins, that would contain a certain kind of cracker that you could use and eat to survive a nuclear war and a nuclear blast. And years later, when I helped clean out that dorm, we took some of those old tins and opened them up, and I think the crackers would have killed you before anything else. They were horrible. But the descriptions in the Bible are horrific and tremendous when we think about how God describes that last day. The heavens will pass away with a great noise. Just think what that must sound like. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. All things will be dissolved. And so there's a lot of reason why looking at that coming day puts fear into our hearts. And yet, whenever God is speaking to his faithful, to believers in Christ, he tells us to look forward to that day with optimism. You can even sense that in our text today. We're to look at it differently than the world. He says, on the day of the Lord, we should be looking for and hastening the coming day of God. We should look forward to this day and want it to come, because for us it means something completely different than for the unbelieving world that is going to be condemned. At the end of World War II, there were many prisoners, American prisoners, held in German prison camps under Nazi Germany. And when the final days came, when the war was coming to an end, the German soldiers in that camp looked at those final days very fearfully, but the American soldiers looked at them with a completely different set of eyes, because they knew their liberators were coming. Their day of redemption was coming. And so it is with the believer in Christ. We don't have to look to the day of final destruction as this horrific, fearful day for us, but rather as a day that we can lift up our heads, a day that we can look forward to. Because the one who has promised us that he's coming back and warned us about that day to keep us ready is coming to claim us as his own. The one who has claimed you with his very own blood, which dripped from the cross of Calvary. The one who put his waters on your head in holy baptism and the name of the triune God on you and on your heart. The very Holy Spirit who has now made a deposit on you, giving you the gift of faith, guaranteeing that he will come back and take you on the great day of redemption. This is the God that we have that tells us not to be afraid to look forward to that day. It's the God who's paid for all of our sins, the God who's dressed us in the holiness of Christ's righteousness, the God who's given you even right now the gift of faith that's causing you to love that Savior and look forward to going to heaven. This is the God who tells us how to be ready for that day. He says, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Let me use an illustration for a moment. I was blessed to have two very wonderful pious grandmothers. I hope you've had pious grandmothers. And imagine if your grandmother, if she was a wonderful pious woman like mine were, imagine if she were to tell you that the week of spring break, the day or two before that, she was going to come and pick you up this year and take you on a special surprise vacation over spring break, and it's going to be fantastic. And she'd like you to be ready. So wouldn't it be really sad if your mother, your grandmother, excuse me, had to come and get you out of a bar, or maybe find you at some rowdy party, or maybe find you sitting in front of your computer staring at pornography, or possibly at some strip club or something? Wouldn't it be sad if your pious grandmother had to find you when here she's coming to do something so wonderful for you? When we think about who is coming to get us on the last day, who's coming to redeem us, this is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the nations, the one who shed his blood for us, the one who rose again triumphantly on Easter for us, the one who's promised us everlasting life in heaven, the one who loves you beyond anything anyone in this world can love you like. That one is coming. And he says, I'd like you to be ready. I'd like you to be prepared. So how should we be living our lives? What manner of living should we be involved in as we wait for that great day to come? Well, one thing is for certain, we should not be living as if we belong to this world. George Stecart, a commentator, said this, detaching ourselves from the nature of this world is a prerequisite to true sanctification. This world's going to be destroyed, and all the pleasures this world offers will all be gone and destroyed. Certainly, this isn't where we should have our hearts attached. Peter says, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? God calls upon us, the one who's coming to get us, calls upon us to live lives of repentance and to live lives that love him and his word and look forward to his final return because of where he's taking us. He says, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. How can my life reflect my enthusiasm for that great day? Amen. Please rise. Please turn with me to page 165 in the front part of your hymn book, page 165. We will use the collect or the prayer number 132. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we most heartily thank you that by your word you have brought us out of the darkness of error into the light of your grace. We beseech you, mercifully help us to walk in that light, guard us from all error and false doctrine, and grant that we may not become ungrateful and despise and persecute your word, but receive it with all our heart, govern our lives according to it, and put all our trust in your grace through the merit of your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.